You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Right now we have a corridor with the union president of the New Zealand Nurses Organisation. I'm not sure if a lot of people know this, but I'm sure it's common knowledge. The public health system has been under a lot of stress in the past year and a half since the coalition government took power due to chronic underfunding. There are massive hiring freezes, and as a consequence, a lot of health practitioners are very, very annoyed at the government, nurses included, and they are going to be striking tomorrow. So on the line, we have Nurse Union President Anne Daniels to talk about this countrywide nurse strike and the conditions of working in the health system at the moment. Good morning to you, Anne. How are you?
Morning. Very good, thanks.
I'm glad to hear. You've had quite an early morning. You were up at 7 o'clock talking to the New Zealand Herald. How did that go?
Oh, very well. Ryan Bridges asked some very pertinent questions. He wanted to know why Te Whatuoro was saying one thing and we were saying another. And I pointed out to him that all the information and data that we actually use is actually from Te Whatuoro, but it's about a spin, I suppose. And we stick to the facts. And the facts are that we have got too few nurses to do too much work, and we're hemorrhaging nurses overseas, and we're not hiring enough nurses to actually provide safe care. So that's the crux of the matter for tomorrow's strike.
And we've got all sorts of facts and figures that we'll pull up during this corridor. I want to start off this chat, though, talking about a recent open letter that was sent to all MPs. It was made by a group of healthcare workers, including GPs, nurses and paramedics, and it asks MPs to waive private healthcare for them and their families during their time in office. And the argument is, if you and your loved ones are serving the public and you're relying on the public healthcare system, you know the trouble it's facing firsthand, and you're probably more likely to improve it. Do you think we should enshrine in law that MPs must use public healthcare while they're in office?
I can see the point. I don't think we can force anybody to do anything. Thank God we still live in a relatively free country. But the point would be that is, if they have to use a public health system, then they might be more likely to, one, listen to the issues, and two, do something about it. Because it's very clear to us that this current coalition government is very interested in money versus people, and they can afford private care where the majority of people in New Zealand cannot. In fact, recent data from Te Whatuoro shows that accessibility to primary health care has become a lot worse under their watch. And so people are becoming sicker, and as a consequence, there's a huge extra demand on hospitals, particularly ED care, because people have got nowhere to go. And by the time they get to the hospitals, they're so sick, they really need to actually be admitted. So that's where all the pressures are coming from. So I think that if the politicians were to be required to use the public health system while they were in office, then that probably would be a good thing.
Maybe if it was a condition for running for office, you must use public health care. You know, I think that'd be great. It's like how they should also be forced to use public transport. You know, all the things that the public relies on to do their business. I think that would be fantastic, personally.
Absolutely true. And the thing is that, you know, politicians, they're in government to actually do the best they can by the majority of the people who live in New Zealand, as opposed to getting into office and actually divorcing themselves from the people, which is what this coalition government seems to have done. In fact, it's gone further than that. It's actually served the divorce papers on the workers' rights and our ability to actually even put bread and bread on the table and pay the mortgage or the rent to actually have a house or a roof over our heads. Mm. And these are the things that are most important. They are the basic social determinants of health, being able to actually have secure homes, secure food, a good job, and options for education. All of these are being ripped away from the majority of the people, and that's why people are getting sicker, because they're living in cold and moldy houses, if they are living in houses and not cars, and they're coming into ED for help. Mm-hmm. It's a sticking plaster approach, but it is pushing the public health system, according to the government, into private care. They're using it as an excuse, and it's a falsehood, because they're creating the mess in the first place.
Exactly.
We need a fully funded public health system that actually provides care where and when it's needed, and before people need hospitalisation. So we're striking not just for pay and conditions, we're striking to actually save our public health system, because we want people to be well rather than sick.
Mm. I want to talk about the future of the public health system. Your organisation has data which reports that between January to November 2024... Oh, sorry, no. different data, sorry. Looking to the recent cohort of graduates, the mid-year nursing graduates, about 45% of them have been employed by Te Whatu Ora, which compared to the usual 80 to 90% intake in recent memory is laughable. If our nursing graduates can't find employment here, surely they will be able to, they'll be encouraged to seek greener pastures, and that will, you know, lessen the efficacy of our health system, no?
They are absolutely doing that because they have no choice. And this is a problem, because the current health system context is needing many, many more nurses. And we also have an aging workforce. So there's a lot of baby boomers that are actually retiring or set to retire soon. So we need those new nurses to come in, have the opportunity to learn from the experienced nurses and grow in themselves. So we have to keep them here. But that means that right now, 55% of our new grads on an annual basis are not getting jobs. And that's absolutely horrendous. So in a few years' time, we're not only going to have no experienced or very few experienced nurses, but we're also not going to have any nurses to fill their gaps. And international qualified nurses have stopped coming here because they know that they're not getting any jobs. Australia, on the other hand, is benefiting hugely by the amazing new graduates that we actually produce here. I've just read recently that the Minister of Health said that 70% of their international qualified nurses that are going to work in Australia or registering to work in Australia come from New Zealand. And do you know how many that was in the last year? 19,600. So of the 30,000 that apparently of New Zealanders that are apparently going to New Zealand, Australia to work, the vast majority look like they're nurses.
That's nuts. That's nuts.
Yep.
That's silly. Moving on, I want to touch on the impact of understaffing, as Te Whatu Ora has had a hiring freeze in for about a year and a half now, it seems. Your organisation has data from Te Whatu Ora that between their reports that between January to November last year, 56% of all day shifts in surgical wards across 16 health districts were understaffed. What impact has this had on nurse well-being and their ability to provide appropriate patient care?
Nurse well-being has been under the hammer for a very long time. The unsafe staffing that we're experiencing now has become a lot worse over the years, and was particularly made visible during COVID. But nurses keep going back to work every single day. They are committed to caring for people, and that is not sort of plumping pillows and wiping feet of brows. Our nurses are highly qualified, skilled and knowledgeable tertiary educated, and we have a lot to offer. We work alongside doctors as equals. We both have different parts to play in the providing care to our patients, and we need each other. But you know, just a year or so ago, the College of Surgeons wrote an open letter to this government saying that without nurses, they couldn't do the surgery, do the pre and post cares, the recovery. Nurses are the linchpin of the health system, from primary health care, tertiary care, aged care. We are absolutely needed. So when I go to work, and I've already seen five or six, because I still work in a tertiary level ED on my days off, and I see five or six texts saying, any hours, we're desperate. And that kind of language never used to be coming through. And it puts you in a mindset where, oh my God, what am I walking into? And most nurses think like that, but they go anyway. And they put their patients first, they put their families and their communities first, over and above themselves. But it's got to the point now where we have very little in the tank to give. And this is why we're standing up and fighting back for a public health system that is going to meet the needs of the people. But also, we know that when we go to work in those situations, that because there are fewer staff, there are more likely to be mistakes made, and that means avoidable patient harm. And it's interesting because very recently, the ACC statistics of patient harm has actually been reported as going through the roof, and that is unacceptable. Even worse, Te Whatu Ora has cut the quality staff in Te Whatu Ora by over 30% and can't produce the reports to tell us just how bad it is. Now, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you'd think, well, maybe they just don't want those reports out there because they're so bad that even Te Whatu Ora doesn't want to make them public. So it's very, very concerning. So one of the reasons why we're losing nurses, not just because they can't get jobs, because Te Whatu Ora is not hiring because it's putting budget before people, is because nurses want to go and work where they can provide good care to the, well, the professional and legal standards that are required by us. But it's also because we actually give a damn. And the people who are worse off right now are Māori and Pasifika communities. We don't have enough Māori and Pasifika nurses, and it goes on. So this strike is about safe staffing, making Te Whatu Ora actually acknowledge its own data that says 50% of the wards are not staffed properly and they're unsafe, and doing something about it by hiring nurses and keeping them here by paying them competitive wages with Australia and having good work conditions.
It's interesting you bring that point up about the reports that aren't being released. I think a massive part of this government strategy around its policy is simply to be as opaque and unclear as possible, because if people knew what you were doing, the government was doing, they would not be just they would not be very happy with it. They wouldn't get re-elected come 2026.
Yeah, I think that it's not just my personal opinion. I think everybody's saying it, that this is a one-term government. But in the meantime, we've got another 400-odd days where they can continue to do make decisions that impact on the mum and dads and the ordinary people in New Zealand, of which we are the majority. And that's the thing that concerns me. And we know that it's affecting the health and well-being of the people in New Zealand. We've got a 25% increase in the number of people who are going to ED because they can't get into their GPs and get the care they need when they, where and when they need it. And we've opaqueness is absolutely true. Even the people in government don't seem to know who's doing what, because they find out information in the media about who said what. And that is absolutely ridiculous. We need a government that is actually going to do what it's supposed to do. Government is about to be doing the greater good for the majority, and that is not happening now. This government is about doing the best they can by the few who don't need that help in the first place.
Few for the much and much for the few. That's how it goes. I want to thank you for coming on the program this morning, Anne. I really appreciate it. Do you have any final words for our listeners?
Yes, I do. For all those listening, we're actually going on strike for the whole nation. We're doing it for the health and well-being of the people that we actually care for, our families, our communities. So we actually need those families and communities to come and stand beside us wherever there is a picket line. It's a national strike from 9 o'clock in the morning tomorrow till 9 o'clock in the morning on Thursday. We need you to stand beside us, just like you did in the Hikoi, just like you did when we were marching in Dunedin to try and save our new build hospital. We need you there. So please, please come and stand beside us. In Dunedin, that is at the museum. And if you go online, you will find on Facebook information about where you can go to actually support us and show this government that health matters and a public health system matters even more.
If you look up Maranga Mai Te Whatu Ora National Strike on Google, you should be able to find an index of where all the protests are. Thank you for coming on the program, Anne. I really appreciate it. Mā te wā. All right, folks, that was Anne Daniels, the president of the New Zealand Nurses Organisation. We're talking to her about the nurses' strike, which is happening tomorrow, 9 to 9. Really awesome to see nurses mobilise. It's a funny sentence, but it's great to see. You know, we need more dissent. We need to protest and strike more against this existentially terrifying government who are anti-democracy. They are anti-democracy, for God's sake. If you are going to close down same-day enrolments for the election, that is nuts. I can't think of any stupider possible political move you can make than restricting democracy and who has access to it. It is absurd. Also, I mean, everything. The Te Whatu Ora hiring freeze, the Treaty Principles Bill, the Regulatory Standards Bill. This government has no chill. They are horrible. They are horrifying. We shouldn't tolerate it, and we should make them a one-term government. And if we don't, New Zealand is going to get infinitely more worse. It is just going to be a land of the lost. It's going to be very rich, and there's going to be the very poor. I mean, I've noticed there's an increase in homeless people around the place. I noticed it very acutely when I was in Pōneke, Wellington, quite recently. We really need to improve the situation, and doing so by investment, not by cutting government funding. That's not the situation. That's not the solution. Anyway, that is all politics. It's 10, it's 9, 12.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.